Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. It's that time again. It's the Breaking It Down podcast, live from Los Angeles, early rise, Denver omelets, country potatoes, sourdough toast, minus the butter. Here's truly Mark Mancini here, 347-205-9631. 30 minutes goes by quick. If you happen to miss it, catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as they clear the deck, lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, my special guest, great guy, so blessed to have him in here. Scout with the NFL. He's been doing a lot of things, covering events in Tampa and everything. Leo Haggerty. Leo, how are you this morning?
Well, I was fine till you started telling me about what you're having for breakfast there, and I feel like Pavlov's dog. I'm salivating down here in Tampa.
Yeah, well, you know, you get these things. Denver omelets are always good. The price of them, goes up with inflation out here in California. I don't know. Maybe everybody's trying to get their money back from the pandemic. Who knows? But, hey, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, my brother.
Well, you go to Twitter or X, whatever you call it now, and go to Amped Up Sports 1, or you can go to our website, which is Amped Up Sports. I do a daily post. And I do a daily video that I put up. And today is my NCAA WOW games from the weekend. And, you know, I put up five of them. And then tomorrow is the NFL WOW. And then on Wednesday, Thursday, I'm screaming from the cheap seats about, you know, what I see and what I see wrong, what I see right, whatever. And then on Friday is, I put up a column now called You Won't Believe This. You know, and some things that they have happened, and then Saturday, Sunday are Leo's losers. So I got a week's worth of stuff happening, Mark.
Oh, I like that one. Hey, let's get into your career and everything, and how you morphed it into what it is today. Because it's just simply amazing. You know, when you look at something, the start of this, we all have an idol, we all have a mentor, we all have somebody that we latch on to. Who was your mentor or idol or somebody that you latched on besides your parents? Because we always go to the parents. So tell me somebody that got you into this, because I think it opens doors for people that are listening to the show today to say, hey, you know what? I could do what Leo's doing.
Well, you know, first I started into coaching, and my high school football coach, Dick Luttrell, who was a season ticket holder with the Eagles from 1953 to, I think it was 2019. He was there forever, forever, forever. And he's passed away since then, God love him. But he got me into coaching. And then my dad was a printer, and he ran into Tom Hepler. And Tom Hepler was the general manager and owner of Arlad Scouting Service. And when my dad told Tom, yeah, my son's a college football coach, Tom got on the phone, called me and said, hey, how about doing some evaluation for me? And I said, sure. So he would send me videos, and I'd watch and evaluate players. And we'd fly out to the, you know, the East-West. We'd go out to the and that was back in Palo Alto then. And then we'd go to the Blue-Gray game down in Alabama. And then we'd, put that out. And then I asked Tom one time, I said, hey, Tom, is there anything with the NFL with this? He said, yeah, oh, yeah. He said, there's two of them, All-American and Blesto. He said, here, give them a call. So I called All-American, which is down in Texas, and they said, no, we don't have any openings. And then I called up Josephine Harrison, who was the secretary with Blesto, which is out of Pittsburgh. And I called up and said, hey, look, you probably don't need anybody. Said, I'm down here in Tampa. She goes, don't hang up. Our Tampa scout just retired 2 days ago. And the funny thing about that, Mark, is that, you know, we got to talk and everything, and, you know, I agreed to do it. And she goes, now if I could find two other ones. I said, where are you looking? She goes, Philadelphia and Baltimore. I said, I can give you 50 names. She goes, how about two? I said, okay. I gave her Ken Polak and Dave Alexander, and they've been doing it. They did it with me there, and, they've been with me with It Sports Magazine, Amped Up Sports, but they were the original group of Night Sports Productions, what we formed in 1999, and been going for just short of 25 years now. And they're still with me. So we got 16 guys throughout the country. Each of them handle two NFL teams. And then if you go to we just covered the AFC. Let's see, we covered the AFC North and the AFC South last Thursday night. So if you want to go and check that out, we had Troy Odegaard and Steve Arcardipone, who covers the NFC South for us. AFC South, I'm sorry.
Right.
And then we had the AFC North, which is the black and blue division, and we had A.J. Curtis and Mike Simzak. And you know what, Mark? My guys aren't in Bristol. They aren't in L.A. They're
yeah.
where the daggone games are, and that's what's nice. Mike's up in Mike Simzak's up in Baltimore, and you know Steve's in Texas. So yeah, we got the guys all over who at least get to see these teams.
Yeah, well, I like it. You're in the trenches. You know, everybody looks at a quarterback, everybody looks at a running back and a wide receiver. Football is one in the trenches, and your guys, I like that. They're not, you know, bright lights in big city. They're in the, you know, the things where they're out there mingling with the fans and everything and covering the game, getting you the insight, which is tremendous in itself. You know, sticking on the football thing, you're out there in Tampa. They're 3-1. They're coming off a bye. Big game, bringing out the jerseys, the creamsicles this weekend. Detroit's coming to town 4-1. Boy, that's going to be one hell of a game. That should be a night game or something, but you know, it's one of these day games, so the rest of the country is only in Tampa and Detroit. Maybe will be the only ones that see it. But are you surprised at the Bucs? Because I'm not really looking at it from afar, because I've always been a big Baker Mayfield guy, and now Tom Brady's out of there. But I just like this the system they're running in Tampa. You know, the division, Atlanta pulled one out yesterday. Carolina's trying to find themselves, but New Orleans – this could be a three-headed monster down the stretch, but man, you got to be feeling happy for the Bucs.
Yeah, and you know what? Everybody thought that because Tom Brady left, this team was going to sink, and I still laugh because I picked up Sports Illustrated, and they had the Bucs. Their two supposed gurus had the Bucs 2-15 and 4-13. I'm going, no, that's not happening.
Yep.
And again, one thing I told people when Baker Mayfield was signed here, I said, if you get the Baker Mayfield who was healthy, remember, he took Cleveland. Let me repeat that. He took Cleveland to the playoffs. They dismantled Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, and they were one play away from beating Kansas City. You get that guy, he's fine. And again, he's made some plays this year that Tom Brady, you know, Tom Brady surrendered faster than the French Army in World War II. I mean, he went down. He wasn't going to get hit. He went down, and he went down quick. Now Baker's making plays with his feet. And that's what I said when they talked about, okay, is it him or Kyle Trask? I said, it's got to be Baker because he does a better job of ending the play with his feet only because this offensive line is in transition. And, Mark, you and I have been around the game long enough to know when you substitute players on an offensive line, it takes 6 to 8 weeks for them to get some cohesion, and the Bucs had four new guys there. Yeah, they had Tristan Wirfs, but they had to move him to left tackle. So they have a new right tackle, two new guards, and Jensen wasn't healthy enough to play, and they have a new center. So, yeah, it's been a little bit of scramble time back there, and, you know, they got lucky. You know, luck is in the NFL, Mark. It's when opportunity meets preparation. Yeah, I figured them to be 2-2 out of the gate, but they're 3-1, and you know, God love them. They got the Lions coming in, and you know what? Be careful because Dan Campbell's got those guys playing hard. And you know, you brought up the fact about being in the trenches. You know what Dan Campbell did at Detroit? He got the toughest guys he could find on the offensive and defensive line and signed them. Because I was when I first started in scouting, I sat down with Carmen Perone, and Carmen Perone was the head scout for the New Orleans Saints. I said, Carmen, what do I need to know about this game? He said, one of the things you need to know is you work from the ball out. Center, guards, quarterback, defensive tackles, defensive ends, offense. You work from the ball out. If you're not strong in the ball, you're going to be in trouble. Look at the Philadelphia Eagles. Look at the Detroit Lions. Man, oh, man. Two great offensive lines. And That quarterback sneak they run with the Eagles, you know it's coming. They can't stop it because that offensive line is so big and so strong. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun game down here. In fact, right now I'm leaning toward the Lions, especially after the way they dismantled Carolina yesterday.
Well, when you look at the NFC, Leo, you've been around the block too. It's pretty much people are talking about, well, they were trying to tell me that the NFC championship game before last night was going to be Dallas and San Francisco. I said, I don't realize that, you know, games are won after, 4 weeks or whatever. But San Francisco dismantled Dallas for the third time in a row, took them two times out in the playoffs, and then just killed them last night. But when you look at Philly and San Francisco, and they're going to be on a collision course in Philly here a little later on this year, those are the two teams right now. You got Tampa and Detroit that are trying to push the envelope to get into this thing. New Orleans might have something to say. I'm still trying to get Washington into this mix here. But it's not as strong as the AFC, where the AFC looks like the SEC. Do you see somebody coming out of this other than Philly and San Francisco? And maybe there's a dark horse that I'm not looking at that I just mentioned in all these teams. Minnesota, you know, as crazy as this may sound, is they've been snake bitten. They're like the Chargers last year. They're just losing, you know, 3 or 4 points, you know, in their losses here. So, is there a sleeper that we're just not seeing?
In the NFC, keep an eye on Seattle because they're starting to find ways to win football games too. But I'll tell you what, Mark, right now, you're looking at the Eagles and the 49ers and then the rest of them back there. But catch this. This is what the Eagles look at starting in November. They get the Cowboys at home. They go to Kansas City to play the Chiefs. Then the Bills come to Philly. Then the 49ers come to Philly. Then they go to Dallas. And then they go to Seahawks. Man, oh, man, oh, man. What a game grind that's going to be. Oof, crazy.
Yeah. No doubt about it. Hey, you're in the Tampa area. The Rays won 99 games. I don't know. Manfred's blaming it on, you know, the time change and everything in Tampa. But it just seemed like everybody was dressed up participating in Halloween maybe a few weeks early as an empty chair. They claimed there was 19,000. Then the next day they claimed there was 20,000. Looked like more like, you know, they let people in. What's going on in Tampa with this thing? And we'll get into the playoff system in the last 15 minutes and some change, but seems like what a great ball club. They got to give them a new ballpark. They've been flirting with the idea of Montreal. That's not going to happen. What's the deal there? I haven't been to the area in Tampa, but you're there. Is it just the stadium is just in a bad area, or is it just not conclusive to everybody coming into the thing from traffic from different areas, suburbs? What is the deal?
You know what, Mark? I'm going to drop this right in Rob Manfred's lap, and I'm going to drop it in their heart. They could have done 2 weeks before the season was over. The Rays or Baltimore, either one was going to be the top wild card. All they had to do 10 days before the playoffs and say, okay, Tampa and Baltimore, they're going to host as the wild card, and this is the time they're going to play. They didn't announce the game time until Monday morning of a Tuesday game. Now, Mark, I don't know if people realize, but guys got to work down here. You can't just walk in on Monday and say, hey, I'm going to take off Tuesday. If they would have given plenty of notice that game was going to be played then, they'd have been fine. I can remember 2 years ago when they hosted game 3 and 4 with the Astros, 35,000 in that park, because people knew what was happening. You can't just drop a day and say, okay, we're going to play 3. If they had played 8 o'clock at night, you'd have 30,000 people there. But they played at 3 o'clock, and that's hard to get kids out of school. That's hard to get a lot of things done. And I'm dropping that right in Major League Baseball's lap. They dropped the ball on this. Error, Rob Manfred.
Yeah, you're right. And, you got to get a commissioner in there that's going to do something. But you're right. It's a real clown show. Talking about a clown show, I've got a feud going on with the Dodger Nation out here, and I just say every year, you know, they're crowned as regular season champions. They keep telling me 10 of 11 division titles, but this is a team that's just not prepared for October. They haven't won a World Series, playing 162 games in 35 years to be exact almost. And I'm not counting the 2020, but this team is just they're going to blame it on excuses with, you know, they didn't have the pitching or the rookies and this and that. But, man, oh, man, people must be buying something that I'm just not seeing. But, Leo, this is a team that's just not really built for October, like I said. It's just they're a regular season, and I've called them the Bridesmaids, and they should change the name to call them the L.A. Bridesmaids.
Well, you know what, Mark, and I kind of wonder why they ran Kershaw out there. You know, the guy hadn't gone more than 5.5 innings in any of his starts. He doesn't get an out. And the Diamondbacks have 6 on the board. Think about that. When's the last time you saw that happen to anybody out there? I'll tell you what, the Dodgers were an embarrassment in game one. They better win game two. And I'll tell you what, let's switch it to the other National League one. Atlanta wanted no parts of Philly because Philly knows how to beat Atlanta in the playoffs. There's another team that, you know, take away their last World Series 2-3 years ago. Same thing as the Dodgers, you know. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. You know, that's the way it looks.
Well, and not only that, see, and I've done these shows with Kip Gross, former Major League Baseball player, pitcher, and some of these guys, and I've always said this, and doing the Pirate podcast with the Giants, you know, people look at, you know, teams that are waltzing through divisions, and they go, watch out for this one. This is, you know, Bill North once told me, he said, now that we know who's going to, you know, be there, all we have to do is play the game. And for these people, the prognosticators that are sitting there telling me that it's going to be the Dodgers and Braves, somebody forgot to tell, you know, the Phillies and Diamondbacks. And you know what? What people don't realize, Leo, and you've been around the block, is teams that are playing playoff baseball in late August, those are the teams you got to watch out for. Case in point, 2019, the Washington Nationals were left for dead in May. They started to put a streak together. They got in the playoffs, and they took out, you know, everybody, including the Dodgers in the backyard, and won the World Series against the Houston Astros. So this is what people don't realize. It's them teams that are coming in hot that you got to watch out for. And, yeah, the D-backs might have lost 14 out of 17 or whatever, but they got hot at the right time. And look at the Phillies. The Phillies, to me, when you look at this ball club, Leo, they're all in. They pull for each other, and they're looking at 27 up, 27 down, and they're doing whatever it takes to, get the wins. And I'll tell you, looks like we're set up for an Arizona-Philly. I have one team standing in this thing. Philadelphia's the only one. Milwaukee went by. Toronto went by. Seattle didn't get in there. But I think we're going to set up for a Philly-Texas World Series, and that's going to be one hell of a World Series because Bruce Bochy's a great manager, and I got to cover him for 3 years.
You know what? Everybody's falling asleep on the Texas Rangers, and, man, they're spanking Baltimore. I think, Mark, people don't realize what an advantage you have winning that wild card series. You got momentum going, exactly what you said. And now these other teams are coming off a week of rest, or is it a week of rust? With Atlanta and the Dodgers, Baltimore, it's looked like a week of rust. That's just the way it is. But, you know, how about a Texas-Houston final over there? Wouldn't that be amazing? Oh,
wow.
Coming out of the AL. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, that's going to be something else. As we switch gears a little here, with hockey right around the corner, we got the Lightning. We got the season starting tomorrow. This team is, you know, Tampa, you know, kind of tied Pittsburgh there, back-to-back Stanley Cup champs. getting a little long in the tooth now. What's it take with the Lightning as a start the 2023 season tomorrow, I believe.
You know what, Mark? I'm going to go back when they set the record for the most wins and they got eliminated in the first round, four straight by Columbus. You know what happened then? They went to three straight Stanley Cup finals, won two in a row, and then lost to Colorado on that extra man on the ice, which we won't even talk about. But they're coming off a first-round elimination again by Toronto, and they lost three home games. That never happens. I know they got Vasilevsky out for at least, 6 to 8 weeks, maybe a little longer. But I think that'll be an advantage because if they can keep their head above water for that time, and then you get Vasilevsky back, instead of having him play 60, 65 games, he's only going to play 40. So he's going to be rested. But I'll tell you what, Mark, if you look at what's going on in history, watch out for the Boston Bruins. They set the record last year, got eliminated in the first round. You talk about a team that's going to come in hungry, I'll tell you, the Bruins, keep an eye on them. Keep an eye on the Lightning, same thing. You look out west, I think there's going to be a battle between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Kraken in Seattle. That's two franchises that are being built the right way.
Well, and not only when you bring up an interesting point with 9 minutes left in this great interview, we got to do it again. I look at three expansion teams in the four major sports that it's just been unbelievable when they came into the league. The fan bases and everything, and I don't think I've seen that in quite a while. When the Colorado Rockies came in to play baseball, their fan support was amazing. And then the other two were in hockey with the Vegas Golden Knights and the Seattle Kraken. And that's why I'm saying when you look at these expansion teams that are in these cities, when you look at the Pirates, when you look at the Cincinnati Reds, and then you forward it over to where the Raiders are carpetbagging every city, and then the A's trying to get into Vegas. It doesn't work unless that team has been in that city for quite a while or it's an expansion team. Nobody is going to support a carpetbagging team if you're not winning. Am I on to something?
Oh, yeah. Let's go back to the simple line. If you win, they will come. Yeah, I know they said in that movie, if you build it, they will come, Field of Dreams. But if you win, they will come. That's the bottom line. If you're coming in and you're coming in from somewhere else, and, Mark, you bring up a great point, the Raiders coming into Vegas, you better win. And look at what the Rams did. Yeah, I know they were in St. Louis. They were in Anaheim. They were all over. Well, they went all in with Matthew Stafford. And they won the Super Bowl. Now, they're paying for it a little bit, but that's not a bad football team out there. They're competitive. And that's what you need to be. And I definitely think Carolina took the wrong guy. They should have taken C.J. Stroud because, Bryce Young, I had questions about his size. I didn't question his heart. I didn't question his intelligence. But at maybe 6 foot if he's lucky. 205, not the thing you want in the NFL. And look, tell you what, Mark, real quick, look at Indianapolis, right? Richardson's hurt again. Guess what? All Gardner Minshew has done is win three games for him. This may be a blessing in disguise for Indianapolis. Now they got Jonathan Taylor back.
The Ron Burgundy look-alike. Definitely.
Yep, absolutely.
But real fast, and as we wind this thing down, I've never been a big Ohio State quarterback coming into the NFL. These guys land for a cup of coffee. We've seen it. I'm just not high on these guys. And, yes, C.J. Stroud tore up the Steelers, a week or so ago. He's looking good. He almost pulled one out, against Atlanta. But these kind of quarterbacks don't do nothing for me. I think you might scratch your head and say, well, Mark, I don't know. And I can go back to the Art Schliester riverboat gambling days there. just they don't do nothing for me. When they could tear up things at Columbus and yeah, okay, and this and that, but when they get in the NFL, they just don't seem to last. What's the problem with that, Leo?
You got one football game every year, Michigan. That's it. It's not the Big Ten. It's the Big Two. And that's the thing. You don't see a whole lot of competition. And I think you may see a change here with Stroud, because one thing he hasn't done, he hasn't thrown an interception. That's, you know, the kryptonite of all rookie quarterbacks is they throw interceptions. He hadn't thrown one yet, which is amazing how he's taking care of the football. But, you know, I agree with you. You want a quarterback this year, look west. And I'll tell you what, I always said if my wife ever divorces me, Pac-12 football is going to be listed as an unindicted co-conspirator. Hey, Mark, have you had a chance to see Michael Penix play yet at Washington?
That guy's good. He's right behind Caleb Williams, but it's Williams to lose. And let me tell you something. You just brought up an interesting point in the last 2 minutes before we close the show out. I don't understand this Pac-12 time differential. That game must have went till midnight with Arizona the other day. You can't have games going to midnight. People pulling out of parking lots at 1:30 in the morning, 2 o'clock, getting home at 3, 4 o'clock. That's crazy. I'm glad to see this thing going. I will tell you, with USC dropping, I know their defense has been a little shaky this year, but they're undefeated and they dropped. They're going to go into Notre Dame and beat them Saturday. Don't worry about that. You need a 12-team format, because I will tell you this, Penn State, you got to keep your eyes on. They're going to be dangerous next year, Leo. But with a 12-team format, doesn't matter if the 13th says we belong here. No, you don't. You're not good enough. 12 teams, them top four teams do not want to play an Alabama, USC, or a Penn State down the line. So that's where I lie on that one. Your thoughts, and then we'll wrap this blessed show out, brother.
Yeah, well, let me give you a quick one. The way it's built for next year is the first four teams get a bye, and then the other eight, five plays 12. But guess what, Mark? They can play at college campuses. Do you honest to God think LSU or Alabama or Georgia wants to go play at Michigan, Ohio State, or Wisconsin in the league? No. I can't wait for that. Or go to Penn State, man. I can't wait for that. And secondly, and I know we're up against the clock and you'll get the Reader's Digest version, you got to pay the players now. There's no way around it. You made $500 million with just three teams. You're going to make close to $2 billion. Hey, listen, folks, that's with a B. $2 billion. You got to start playing players, because that's the product. When the Supreme Court said the NCAA model just couldn't exist because you got everything on the backs of the players and you're not paying them. So, yeah, you're going to see 11 games in a playoff. You're going to see teams traveling to the north, and there is one caveat: you can go play somewhere else if you like. So Wisconsin can go play indoors, but I'll tell you what, if I'm Michigan, I'm playing in a big house. You're coming up here, and you're going to play in the elements. And now you got 11 games. You got to pay the players.
Oh, I totally agree. Hey, I'll be sending you the show right after. Let everybody know where they can get a hold of you. I can't wait to do this again, brother. You and I have torn it up, and thanks to Peter Blake and everybody down in that Tampa area. I love them dearly, my friend.
Well, anytime you want to do it, let me know. And if you need any of my guys, they're available too, Mark.
Yep.
But again, go to I'll be posting up on our Twitter account, which is Amped Up Sports 1, and I'll be putting up on my own Facebook page, Leo Haggerty 1, and we'll be putting up on our website, Amped Up Sports.
Hey, he's Leo Haggerty out there in Tampa. Hope everybody enjoyed this great interview. We'll definitely do it again. Kind of, you know, Steve Carlton, Tim McCarver here. We flows, peanut butter and jelly, him and I, coast to coast, bringing it to you. And so blessed to have him in there for this interview. Catch this archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast, platforms wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. Leo, have a blessed one. I love you dearly till the Tampa Bay Lightning play the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, we'll get together then, buddy. Mark, take care, brother.
God bless. Have a blessed one, guys, and thanks for tuning in.